I'm Scott Cameron. This is Here and Now on AM 580. The collapse of the Greek economy 4 years ago can be traced back to deeply rooted economic problems in that country. But that doesn't give the whole picture. In order to understand what happened and why, many political scientists say you need to look at the culture and the politics, both in Greece itself and across the EU as a whole. Kevin Featherstone studies Greek politics at the London School of Economics and Political Science. He's in town for a Millercom lecture this afternoon at the U of I. And Professor Featherstone, thanks for coming in.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Now, the Greek government this week survived a no-confidence vote. There's a constant political tug-of-war in that country and about that country. The debate, though, largely centers on arguments over austerity. Is it good? Is it bad? And you've said that completely misses the point.
Yeah, obviously, for those people on the ground, austerity is serious and it's very severe. But in terms of how Greece got into the crisis, how Greece might get out of the crisis, I think the phrase is that it's the politics stupid that we have to understand. We have to understand problems of government in Greece, problems of how far the machine can deliver the reforms which are necessary. Can government be an agent of change? That kind of thing.
So you talk about needing to change the structures of government. What needs to happen at this point to do that?
It's a huge task because there are deeply ingrained cultural habits, traditions, ways of doing things which affect the response to the new problems, affect the response to the crisis. Basically, there are certain fundamental problems to overcome. One is the lack of coordination, the lack of control across governments, and also that we have really rather weak leadership at the top of governments. Often compare it to trying to drive a car. The guy in the driving seat is pulling levers, is steering the wheel, and doesn't really know how the car is going to react and whether the destination is going to be achieved or not.
Now, thinking a little bit bigger picture than even outside of Greece, looking back at to the days of the creation of the Eurozone and the roots of the economic meltdown, and I'll paraphrase you a bit here, you say history came back to haunt us. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, history was important, Scott, because it affected the way in which this particular currency was organized in terms of its policies and institutions. And it meant that the priority was going to be towards fighting inflation, not unemployment. And it also meant that at the European level, there wouldn't be powers to have kind of cross-national transfers. There wouldn't be the resources, a central European budget, to tackle the problems of individual countries. Governments would be standing by themselves in terms of their domestic economic policies. And it meant when the Greek crisis happened, Europe was very slow to come to the aid of Greece. It did very little to help Greece. And eventually when Europe did act, Europe had to spend more money in terms of the bailouts than otherwise would have been the case if Europe had acted more decisively and quicker. So in a sense, what we have is a crisis which was created and shaped by the legacies of history. The euro currency had been designed in a way which actually meant that Europe could do relatively little to help individual countries. So the crisis became worse.
The EU is set up largely as an economic union, not necessarily so much a political union.
Yeah.
And they're not able to intervene cross borders in most cases. In cases of crisis like this and looking down the road and thinking about the overall stability of the EU, how able is the EU to withstand crisis?
Even before the economic crisis came to Europe in 2009, Europe had a legitimacy problem. We had a problem of falling public support for Europe. And this is something which is across the continents of Europe. Different kinds of what we call Euroscepticism. That is, different parties and movements arguing that Europe was going in the wrong direction. So we already had that before the economic crisis came. Mm. And now today, we have really the biggest challenge in terms of public support that we've had in the history of the European Union. And we have elections next June 2014 to the European Parliament, right across all 28 member states. But of course, in those elections, no one is actually electing a national government. So it's a kind of midterm election opportunity. And people across the 28 countries protest. They protest against their own domestic government. And what the opinion polls are saying to us at the moment is that next June, when we have these European Parliament elections, we're going to see all manner of different fringe, more extreme parties gaining new levels of public support. In Greece, we've had the rise of Chrysi Avgi, the Golden Dawn party. It's now suffered because of court action against some of its members. But until recently, again, it was the second largest party.
So we may very well see an economic union make it through this particular economic crisis, only to have a political crisis in its wake that again threatens the very makeup of the union.
I think that's absolutely right. I think this is a vehicle which will continue. I think it stumbles through from one crisis to another. I don't think we're at the stage of looking at the collapse of the European Union. I'm pretty confident that that would not happen. The problem is that this is a European Union which has a serious health problem, a vitality problem.
One last question then here. What do you think a Greece of 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 years down the road is going to look like?
I think we have two scenarios. The more pessimistic scenario is of more of the same, that is of governments stumbling forward, avoiding exit from the euro single currency, but in a low-growth scenario in which there continues to be much economic and social disruption. But I think the more optimistic scenario is one which is also much more in the interests of Europe as a whole. To rescue Greece is also to rescue Europe, in a sense, from the present crisis. What Greece needs is serious, deep-rooted reform. But we all know it takes time to have reform. Yes, there should be strong conditions, constraints, requirements placed on Greece. But Greece must also be given a reasonable time to make the adjustments. And it also needs a strategy that can focus on those parts of the Greek economy where growth can actually occur.
And all of that will take political will both within Greece and within the EU.
And we're talking a decade.
Professor Kevin Featherstone directs the European Institute at the London School of Economics and Political Science. He'll deliver a Millercom lecture this afternoon on the U of I campus. That's at 4 o'clock at the Knight Auditorium in the Spurlock Museum. Does that get that right?
I think that's correct.
All right, 600 South Gregory in Urbana. And Professor Featherstone, thanks for your time.
I'm very pleased to be here. Thank you.
And you're listening to Here and Now on AM 580.